Harper Audio presents The Chronicles of Narnia, Book 4, Prince Caspian by C.S. Lewis. Read by Lynn Redgrave. Chapter 1, The Island. Once there were four children whose names were Peter, Susan, Edmund, and Lucy, and it has been told in another book called The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe how they had a remarkable adventure. They had opened the door of a magic wardrobe and found themselves in a quite different world from ours, and in that different world they had become kings and queens in a country called Narnia. While they were in Narnia, they seemed to reign for years and years, but when they came back through the door and found themselves in England again, it all seemed to have taken no time at all. At any rate, no one noticed that they had ever been away, and they never told anyone except one very wise grown-up. That had all happened a year ago, and now all four of them were sitting on a seat at a railway station with trunks and play boxes piled up around them. They were, in fact, on their way back to school. They had travelled together as far as this station, which was a junction, and here, in a few minutes, one train would arrive and take the girls away to one school, and in about half an hour, another train would arrive and the boys would go off to another school. The first part of the journey, when they were all together, always seemed to be part of the holidays. But now, when they would be saying goodbye and going different ways so soon, everyone felt that the holidays were really over, and everyone felt their term-time feeling beginning again, and they were all rather gloomy, and no one could think of anything to say. Lucy was going to boarding school for the first time. It was an empty, sleepy country station, and there was hardly anyone on the platform except themselves. Suddenly, Lucy gave a sharp little cry, like someone who has been stung by a wasp. "What's up, Lou?" said Edmund, and then suddenly broke off and made a noise like, "Ow!" "What on earth?" began Peter, and then he too suddenly changed what he had been going to say. Instead he said, "Susan, let go! What are you doing? What are you dragging me to?" "I'm not touching you," said Susan. "Someone is pulling me! Oh! 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 Stop it!" Everyone noticed that all the others' faces had gone very white. "I felt just the same," said Edmund in a breathless voice, "as if I were being dragged along, most frightful pulling. Ah, it's beginning again." "Me too," said Lucy. "Oh, I can't bear it."
"Look sharp," shouted Edmund. "All catch hands and keep together. This is magic. I can tell by the feeling. Quick."
"Yes," said Susan. "Hold hands. Oh, I do wish it would stop. Oh!"
Next moment, the luggage, the seat, the platform and the station had completely vanished. The four children, holding hands and panting, found themselves standing in a woody place, such a woody place that branches were sticking into them and there was hardly room to move. They all rubbed their eyes and took a deep breath.
"Oh, Peter," exclaimed Lucy, "do you think we can possibly have got back to Narnia?"
"It might be anywhere," said Peter. "I can't see a yard in all these trees. Let's try to get into the open, if there is any open."
With some difficulty and with some stings from nettles and pricks from thorns, they struggled out of the thicket. Then they had another surprise. Everything became much brighter, and after a few steps, they found themselves at the edge of the wood, looking down on a sandy beach. A few yards away, a very calm sea was falling on the sand with such tiny ripples that it made hardly any sound. There was no land in sight and no clouds in the sky. The sun was about where it ought to be at 10 o'clock in the morning, and the sea was a dazzling blue. They stood sniffing in the sea smell.
"By Jove," said Peter, "this is good enough."
5 minutes later, everyone was barefooted and wading in the cool, clear water.
"This is better than being in a stuffy train on the way back to Latin and French and algebra," said Edmund.
And then, for quite a long time, there was no more talking, only splashing and looking for shrimps and crabs.
"All the same," said Susan presently, "I suppose we'll have to make some plans. We shall want something to eat before long."
"We've got the sandwiches Mother gave us for the journey," said Edmund. "At least I've got mine."
"Not me," said Lucy. "Mine were in my little bag."
"So were mine," said Susan. "Mine are in my coat pocket there on the beach," said Peter. "That'll be two lunches among four. This isn't going to be such fun."
"At present," said Lucy, "I want something to drink more than something to eat."
Everyone else now felt thirsty, as one usually is after wading in salt water under a hot sun.
"It's like being shipwrecked," remarked Edmund. "In the books, they always find springs of clear, fresh water on the island. We'd better go and look for them."
"Does that mean we have to go back into all that thick wood?" said Susan.
"Not a bit of it," said Peter. "If there are streams, they're bound to come down to the sea, and if we walk along the beach, we're bound to come to them." They all now waded back and went first across the smooth, wet sand and then up to the dry, crumbly sand that sticks to one's toes and began putting on their shoes and socks. Edmund and Lucy wanted to leave them behind and do their exploring with bare feet, but Susan said this would be a mad thing to do.
"We might never find them again," she pointed out, "and we shall want them if we're still here when night comes and it begins to be cold."
When they were dressed again, they set out along the shore with the sea on their left hand and the wood on their right. Except for an occasional seagull, it was a very quiet place. The wood was so thick and tangled that they could hardly see into it at all, and nothing in it moved. Not a bird, not even an insect. Shells and seaweed and anemones or tiny crabs in rock pools are all very well, but you soon get tired of them if you are thirsty. The children's feet, after the change from the cool water, felt hot and heavy. Susan and Lucy had raincoats to carry. Edmund had put down his coat on the station seat just before the magic overtook them, and he and Peter took it in turns to carry Peter's great coat. Presently, the shore began to curve round to the right. About quarter of an hour later, after they had crossed a rocky ridge which ran out into a point, it made quite a sharp turn. Their backs were now to the part of the sea which had met them when they first came out of the wood, and now, looking ahead, they could see across the water another shore, thickly wooded like the one they were exploring.
"I wonder, is that an island, or do we join on to it presently?" said Lucy.
"Don't know," said Peter, and they all plodded on in silence.